So you are quite interested in Italians in the colonization. You know they have done Pontine Marshes south of Rome, Neptunio, and I forgot, I've been there myself long ago when I've been holiday. Not that I had any professional interest, I wasn't in that commission. And in Italy, and these people colonized North Africa, and they had Tripoli, I think, and so on, where they put the people on fully equipped farms, so much so that when the colonists went there, the kettle was almost on the hog. And I remember C.A. telling me to read some of that. He had read, and he was very impressed by that. And I think he little by little got that, how these cottages and all this sort of thing came up. But working in a different way, like taking a whole area and working properly, without it. I don't know whether you even entered his mind. And I'll give you another example. Yeah. You know, he based his work on how you run the state.
Oh, I see.
Now I remember, I think I answered it successfully. I remember soil erosion. There was an agriculture department, a man called Lester Smith. He was put in charge of soil erosion and he did some work on it. And he came out with a recommendation for a particular slope of land. He should, you know, he should give drains, contour drains at such and such interval of such and such size, which is naturally calculated on the rainfall, intensity, various things. All DS looked at it and said, make the drains bigger or smaller. But merely goes to the estate and looks and says. I remember that distinctly. Then now I like to have blacksmith on my estate, carpenter, and I make my work done. And so he tried to run his department in some of that way. Now take the police garage for instance. It is very much more economical and much better too. Government has a lot of vehicles. There's a each department having its own garage and get much better work done. It's a central garage. He won't hear it. Even now there are lots of people who won't, because each one wants to have his finger up. He says, you can get your work done properly. My answer to that is that if that department is inefficient, you must stop the inefficiency there and let them serve everywhere, otherwise you can't run it.
At this point, the original spool was changed. Interview continues.
The ministers there, we can do this, that and the other thing. That enormous table at Queen's office, he got up and shook it there and said, I'm certainly not going to do anything against the interests of the country.
Shook what?
Shook the table. So, and...
How was it that you were finished?
I wasn't finished.
Oh.
I heard it from somebody else. I wasn't present. That's why I said, even though I wasn't present.
I didn't hear you. No. Didn't he have the ability to pick men and also to get on with people, and as a result, he seems to have had a wide range of contacts all over the country?
You know, I never worked like under him, like A.G. Ranasinghe or etc. He was in a better position. But he knew the place extremely well. And he knew what government was going to do. He knew most of them. So and so it is actually the lazy fellow, you know.
Pardon?
So and so is the lazy fellow. You know. So and so, you're more likely to find him in the club playing bridge than he knew well.
But I was wondering whether, apropos of your remark that his eyes were closed to certain things, I know that he was against collectivist ventures altogether. I was wondering whether a capitalistic form could have been applied to rice cultivation, you know, like they are doing now. Now that sort of thing he would presumably have opposed in his day.
He would have opposed?
Mm-hmm. Do you think he would ever post it to?
I don't see. This is typically a form of rice cultivation, such a subsistence.
Well, I'm not talking about your rice, I'm thinking of the subsidiary crops and...
Well, I'm doing it on my... I've never been able to get more than about 30 bushels of paddy. People get 40, 50, 60 somehow. And I take a lot of trouble. And whatever necessary apparently is done. And I couldn't like the matter that I did. About a month ago, my second wife. I've been growing chili. So that's quite difficult, but I'm doing that. Because by single individuals, even the growing of the paddy, everything you can mechanize, but not the harvesting. Because our fields are very difficult for a harvest to work on, and not work.
With regard to these colonization schemes, I wonder whether they gave the peasants too much and it made them expect too much from the government.
No, entirely. That's it. I remember when I was AG at Putnam, I went to Tabo. That was one of the first colonies to start by government. Something or other. The villagers, the colonists said, sir, we want our houses retacked. I said, why don't you do it? No, government must do it. I said, next time you people come and tell us, it's the government, you want not only your rice mixed on your plate, but the government to put it in your mouth also. And it's come to that now. Because every politician is offering. I remember you asked me why I lost my election. I was canvassing in the Butterfield area, William Silver, second election. I went to a colony, a village expansion area, where people had got 1 acre of land, and that land in that area is very expensive and short of land. And they were complaining, sir, the government is very bad, they are worrying us. What is it? They asked me to pay 1 rupee per acre on this land. And so I said, thank you, got the land free and you are grousing about 1 acre. So someone with me is sure to get all their oats. But that's a fact.
On what ground did BS fix on this business of 5 acres of paddy and 3 of...
It used to be 2 acres of paddy and 1 acre of highland. 1 acre of highland, I think, first. Then they increased to five and three on the ground that would be an economic unit for a family to live, keep up a certain... standard of living in the village.
But wasn't that too much? I mean, if according to recent development, that would seem too much for one family, for one man.
Well, no, it's a family. Man and his wife, and maybe two or three children. You see, all these yardsticks vary, isn't it, from time to time? What work do you do on it? Is it extensive or intensive cultivation? Then if it is intensive, to how intensive is it? Then to what extent is mechanization? Now they pay, say, 30 or 40 rupees an acre, and say, the whole holding can be harrowed and made ready for cultivation in, say, 2 days at the most, 1.5 days. Those still driving their buffaloes or turning towards the mamadi, it took them so long.
Another thing, a sphere of interest with regard to DS is his relationship with departmental heads. It would appear that he and some of the European departmental heads couldn't get on. And that in fact he got rid of some of them. I was wondering whether he wasn't getting rid of men of some experience in doing.
No, in that matter, my sympathy for entirely is, I remember this, I was over at Gaul, and I think the minister was coming and searched it. Was it? After the Dalmo Constitution, and the European GA, he had to be ordered by the colonial secretary at the time, to meet him. You know, after all, these people, government agents, many of them were members of the Legislative Council in the old days. So their powers have been taken away from them and were given to the politicians. This was resented. And it was very necessary, essential, for the politician to assert himself. Very necessary.
No, I have no doubt that some of them were diehard, but I know that his policies led to about 3 or 4 people leaving the irrigation department, and I just thought that's a key department.
No, I was thinking myself of the irrigation department. Yeah. I believe Kennedy was fairly good, got on. The other chap didn't. I often liked one that name also. But I remember I had a lot of trouble with the division irrigation engineer at Tangal, a fellow called the Englishman. Because this European colonial complex,
superiority complex?
Oh yes, I've had plenty of experience of it. And I suffered by it, but I never gave it.
No, the point about the irrigation department being that it was a key department for his own policy, and if you get rid of men of some experience before you got the Ceylonese to replace them, aren't you retiring your own policy?
On the contrary, the irrigation department never had any Ceylonese. Another one was the Port Commission. I remember in the Communications Ministry, when I went there, they were trying hard to put Ceylonese in there, and they said impossible, they won't make engineers there. They told that of us, the civil service, Ceylonese can't do administration, only judicial work. Well, when I went to the Communications Ministry, I found that we sent chaps there. And we used to get, fellow is good for 2 years. So third year, suddenly it becomes very bad when it's due for confirmation. As soon as I found out, I insisted on written reports every 6 months to come to the ministry. And so much so that I was thoroughly, utterly disliked by the Europeans in the departments under my minister's control. Except by J.R. Walters, who was Postmaster General, and he was in the civil service.
He was in charge
of Postmaster General. Mm-hmm. So the technical, telecommunication commission. He got off quite well. And Fields generalized the railway, and I got off really well. I remember once Fields wanted something passed through the executive committee for the budget. He came to me in my room before the meeting and said, Siruvai, if you say we better do it, these people will do it. If I say, they won't. Now, I have no desire to mention names, but definitely that was the Port Commission. And the Irrigation Department was also the same scale, I think. So it was a little necessary.
Yes, but then if you have no replacement?
Yes, Ceylonese are going. I don't think we suffered by that.
No, I was wondering whether there was a suspicion that DS tended to want yes men, because he got it of Rodrigo too.
I think at the tail end, yes, not at the beginning. And for that also, I won't blame him. And I'm telling this deliberately. I have seen so many people kowtowing to him. Mm-hmm. That after a while, he began to think that he knew everything. You know, is constantly the people around you say, yes, Mr. Roberts, that's correct. Eventually you begin to believe it is correct. you may be quite a decent chap altogether. I've seen that happening. And I saw it happening with you. Because I have, though I didn't know him that well, I've met him and seen him. And I've seen this actual, I hate to use the word, but bum-tucking going on, I have seen under my very nose. You spoke of Edmund Rodrigo. I remember once, I was in the foot control during the war. Then the agriculture minister was at Visakhapatnam. There was a conference. Edmund Rodrigo came there. I came there from within the Hood Control, and Edmund Rodrigo said something about vernalization of paddy. That you know that to ripen the crop you want so many hours of sunshine, which you get in a shorter period during the summer months in the Mediterranean type of climate than in the tropical type. Correct. Well, I don't think D.S. understood it, and you know his. Have you ever met him? Can't remember.
No.
He used to have a laugh, which was very loud, a guffaw, I hate to call it. And he laughed Edmund Rodrigo out, and every man jacked at that conference, except myself. I kept a straight face, I couldn't dine with Edmund Rodrigo, I knew, and Edmund Rodrigo saying, stating the truth. They all laughed with him. And many of them were scientific people who knew perfectly well. They did not have laughed at him. They could have done what I did and took court. I don't think Edmund Rodrigo had to go because of that. My assessment is rather different.
How would you put it?
The same thing I told you about Kotalal, the difficulty of taking in the written word. Now, when the Department of Agriculture head was in Colombo, Edmund Rodrigo was speaking. When he was in Peradeniya, he couldn't hear the report, which D.S. probably couldn't read. I may be entirely wrong, but that's my assessment. And I was aware of this when I told you that within 2 days I cited Kotalal that way for that reason. I think he suffered from that. Of course, also they actually believe that, you know, he was knocked down by a car on the Peradeniya, Edmund Rodrigo. That after that had affected his capabilities, I don't think, but they also believe it. I heard it said more than once. The reason was, I don't think, not because of this. I don't think D.S. minded the, at least in the days I knew. Now I told you about survey of the evidence. Well, he didn't present it. So much so that he told this cadet who was coming there, well, this fellow holds his beliefs strongly, and that he was right. Now a man who resented that is not going to say that. Naturally, I think he became the victim. Won't you have anything more?
No.
Milanti? We are finished the tea. If you want some tea, you can take it. Yes, take it. Come. I am not inclined to... I do not know how you got that impression.
No, I was wondering because of these clashes, you see. Particularly the one with Rodrigo.
I don't know that you had a clash. I don't know, I wasn't aware of a clash, but the reason why he couldn't get his point of view across is, I think, it. I don't know, that's my assessment.
It must be a pertinent to land, is it? That's a land development ordinance of 1935,
yes.
You would have had to work.
Oh, yes, well, when I came into the
Land
Commissioner's office, we were just getting ready to work. So, I knew it quite well then. Brain had got the ordinance he had drafted and got it. DSMI had got it through the State Council. CLB Commission was working it, and I came in as Assistant Land Commissioner just about that time. And I remember I made one criticism then to the CLB, that we want an army of officers to carry out the provisions of this ordinance.
And what did he say?
I forgot what he said, but I said that to him. I remember that.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you this. Was it practicable to administer? Did you have the infrastructure to work it?
I don't know what you would mean by infrastructure in that connection, but you alienate land and lay conditions. If conditions are laid down, then someone must see that they're carried out.
That's right.
And that means that I said an army.
And in fact, were headmen or others of that caliber capable of working this sort of thing in accordance with his principles?
Yes, if they did the work honestly, they were not incapable, there's not very much to see. If you have an acre of land and you must see that thing is cultivated, then the fellow puts up a house and leaves it. On all those matters, he can still lie for a consideration. But it wasn't by any means beyond his technical capability.
But before really taking the result, I was wondering on what basis they were supposed to choose colonies.
Those were done not by the hetman. It was supposed to be done by the government agents, and I think the method was wrong. They took a landless check, first of all. Sometimes land business was a feckless. That was the criteria. Then the size of the family was another criterion, if I recall right.
That's in practice. I noticed that it was not written down in the manual.
I've forgotten, but I think that was the criteria. And of course, with his able body. But with the military as a cultivator, nobody knew.
Were they supposed to try and ascertain whether they were good cultivators or not?
I don't recollect that we were asked to. I think it was generally assumed a fellow who came from a village was a cultivator.
No, I've seen the land manual, and there's three categories. Chap who's landless, chap who has a little bit of land but insufficient, and chap with enough land.
Yeah.
And they say that it's not necessary to choose A over B.
That may be now we are grown a little wiser.
No, that is 1937.
Is that so?
It was this was signed in August 1937, must have been in your time. Davidson?
Oh yes, I succeeded Davidson. Yeah, I succeeded Davidson as a missionary. That would be not 1939.
36.
Yeah, I think 28, I think 35. I came there in 36.
No, they say that it's not necessary to choose B or A. That is, you could choose a with little land.
Could I really take this off the entry?
Over a chap without any land. But I don't know how far it was put into practice.
My recollection is that the fellow without anything first got permanent. And there's another point about it, you see. The chap who had a little land, his tendency was to hang on in the village.
And sharecrop,
sir? Yes. Not necessarily sharecrop, but nominally to run it. I think I told you about the Malay colony in Hambantota, didn't I? I can't remember. You know, that's earlier, before this. When I was over at Hambantota, that's 1928,
29.
Yes, I was there. 29. Yeah. I think Jaya and these people made a big noise. Malays were overcrowded in Hambantota and they had no means of livelihood. Along the road from Ambalangudu to Hiddiya, you are looking for it?
No, he was looking for it.
Ambalangudu to Hiddiyagama, on the bank of the Nisavalave, they alienated land to the Malays. It's called the Malay colony. Malays got the land and they got the signals to work it. They are not cultivated.
Actually,
the land manual is a long thing. I was wondering whether the AGs and people who were working in the land development ordinance had the inclination to read the book. It was 90 full-scale pages. Those days used to have a red book about this size, loose leaf, and you were constantly throwing pages away and putting new pages. You see, when there was an amendment, you amended the whole page. You printed the whole page and just shoved it in.
Oh, I see.
I would have read it because I have read it. But then this evening, I think for most of them, I would have read it.
What about the peasant and his attitude to the land he was getting? Did he understand that it was not really leasehold? Because the Singhalese, many of them call it Banduvina. But
many people find it very difficult to appreciate that the special tenure created by this army. So the nearest they know of it is they have to pay and make an annual payment. So to them it's Badu.
Because there have been complaints that the peasants consider this as not their land but government land, and therefore don't put their best foot forward. And
I don't know, there is a move afoot now, I believe, to allow them all these land. Now my wife has land, middle class in his land, which she got before she married me, also under the land development ordinance, on which we make an annual payment. Even those lands, they want to give outright, subject to conditions. I said, I know, immediately subject to condition, I know what they will do. I really don't know how.
But
whether there is any truth in that, I'm not so certain. Now, you take these estates which have been alienated. In a crime, excellent land, good, decent unit. You give to these people, you spend some more money in putting up houses, and the production comes down like that. All over.
Oh, you mean estate land taken and given to them?
Oh, yes, of course. They have acquired, I know, in Karambu district, because of the pressure of population, they acquired a lot of estates, so all that. Ruination.
And you think in the long run it's bad for the country?
Oh, definitely. Not in the long run, the short run. If they have no place to live in, they require smaller extent of land for them to, you know, have a house and a small garden. They expect them to live on this one or two acres. Which they might do to some extent, they can look after it now. Take an estate which is many years regularly once a year, it's awesome. When the crop comes down, it's too much coconut estate.
Now, it has been argued, it was argued even in the early 50s, that the peasants, English peasants, are used to freehold, and therefore they didn't like all these reservations. And also they didn't like this condition that only one person be nominated.
Yes, they try all kinds of means to dodge that.
Yes, and because, as a result it's unpopular, they try to evade it, and therefore it's impossible to work.
They try to evade it.
Evade it.
Particularly this thing about one person, which is very necessary if you are going to keep an economic unit. That's entirely alien to this country.
And so that reason that I mean, the army of officers you have has to be an efficient army, otherwise...
You see, the trouble is two ways, no? The father feels he is not fair by the other children. And the younger children usually feel that they have been deprived of what is their right.
Yes, they say that it leads to family quarrels.
Oh yes, oh yes.
But looking at it the other way, if you divide it, even then sometimes it gets family quarrels.
Ah yes. But then you take our area barbecue, you find people who own 1/700 of a half an acre of land. I still must be owning that things which have come down from various ancestors of which I am not aware. Then of course somebody goes and institutes the partition case and then all those get wiped out. As a matter of fact, Brain tried to get through an act for the registration of title to land, and he got some survey people trained also. That would have done a lot of this, he could have got it. That would also prevent subdivision. Egypt, they had the system and they were trying to follow the Egyptian system.
And also the question that they couldn't borrow money on the land. It said that they didn't like that.
Well, no one is given. But you find unofficial lending. Now, I know near my estate now, for instance, the fellow goes and clears crown forest and probably gives the headman a bottle of arak. And then he just puts up a house, does something. And then he sells that thing to some other fellow who comes along. He knows he has no more rights than he's paid for the labor this chap has done. He sells it to another chap. And then one fine day a survey comes along and he says, I'm the fellow who's on it. And probably it will be settled on. But under the hand, we will be drawn.
How strict was government on the question of eviction? Did they in fact evict people if they were not occupying the land or not developing in your time?
Yes, occasionally. I remember one case where I evicted a man. I still remember, went up to the Supreme Court in appeal, and our present Solicitor General Judge on it. He brought a novel point of law, and he got he won his case. I was very struck by it because this is an ordinance I've been working for a long time. He brought an entirely fresh point of view to me. I forgot what the law point was.
On behalf of the Crown?
Oh, no, on behalf of the man who was evicted.
Because I was wondering whether you in those days there was there was a reluctance to evict people who were breaking conditions. And
I think there are less reluctance then than there is now because these people are so subject to political pressure.
No, but say you were assistant commissioner and you got a case where an individual had been given a block of land, 5 acres. He was cultivating 2 acres, but he had let off, he had undercultivated some 3 other acres.
Yeah.
What would you have done?
I'd probably have tucked him out.
That's very interesting. I was wondering about that too.
No, those days,